I'm going to use some very familiar scripture this evening. I'm going to try to be a little shorter than I was last night. I haven't seen the time yet, but I know that it was a little longer than it should have been. So I'll try to shorten up a little bit this evening and still get the portion of scripture that I want to use this evening, hopefully, over to you. What did you expect? If I were to ask each one of you here this evening, what did you expect when you came here tonight? Each of you would probably have a different answer for me. Some of you expect one thing, some of you have other expectations, and some of you may have had no expectations. So you won't be disappointed if you didn't have any expectations whatsoever. My point that I want you to understand this evening is that I think many times, to you who may be lost, we leave you with the wrong impression. And I don't hope that is ever the case. First of all, for the Lord to save the individual is not difficult. It is not, he has no problem in doing that. That was his whole plan before the creation of the earth, was to save mankind. And he set up a perfect plan. Didn't need anything else added to it or anything taken away from it. But as soon as that plan was put into place and he allowed Satan to come into the world and to begin doing his work, we as mankind have done everything under the sun that we can to muddle that perfect plan. We think we have improved upon it, but we have not. You cannot improve upon that which is perfect. We have decided sometimes that it's too hard, it's too difficult, the way the Lord laid it down. I'm thankful that he left us his word so that we've got something to go by and that we can measure everything by. And so for you that are lost this evening, I want you to understand that the plan which God laid down is still in existence today, and it's still the same plan whereby people are being saved as it has always been. I have people ever ask me every once in a while, well, how were those people in the Old Testament saved? They were saved just like you and I are saved. They were saved by the same Savior. They were saved by the same plan. It has not changed. Now, we've tried, we mankind decided under old Mosaic law that all those things were too hard. And we needed something different. The Lord said, you know, first of all, that plan's never going to work because you as man are going to mess it up just like you do everything else. And it's not adequate. All of the blood that was shed from the very beginning of time up until this present time, the only blood that has been sufficient to do the job was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's what you need to understand this evening, that for your sin to be covered. And one night during this revival meeting, I plan to talk about that sin. I want you to understand what we're all about here. I want you to understand when I talk to you about you being a sinner, what that means. I want you to know that you're no different than anyone else. You may think you are. You may feel that you're an exception, that no one else has experienced what you have. But I can tell you this evening that I'm a sinner too. I was conceived in iniquity and born in sin, according to the Word of God. So I didn't get an exemption. I didn't get an exception. And there isn't anyone else here this evening who is exempt from being a sinner. Every single one of us, including you. And God made one plan for our salvation. And we're going to have to follow His plan. He does not allow for modification to it. Now, we've got a lot of people today who say, well, you know, the way that people get saved today is by their good works. Good works won't save you. Good works will probably get you in more trouble than you can imagine. And good works is what you'll stand if you die lost and you don't have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to your heart and you come to Him and allow Him to save you. When you stand in judgment, that's what you're going to plead is your good works. And they're not going to do you any good. They're not going to get you into heaven. Guarantee you that by the word of the Lord. And so for those people who are preaching and teaching works today, they're misleading you and they are deceiving you by doing that. Then there are those people who say, well, you have to do this, you have to do that. Right away, as soon as I tell you, you've got to do something, I've implied that's works. Now, a lot of our Baptists don't like to think along that line. They like to think that, well, we don't preach works for salvation. Many of them are. They're just a little more subtle about it. They just don't come out and say it. Let me tell you something. If I were to say to you tonight that here are lost, the only way that you can be saved is to come down here to this altar. I right away implied works. That means you've got to do something to be saved. You can't do enough good works to be saved tonight. No matter how many works you do, you cannot do enough to merit salvation. The only reason and the only way that you're going to be saved is that you listen to the Holy Spirit of God. That's the third part of the Godhead, and that's who God sent back after His Son was here and shed His blood for our sins, for the remission of the sins of all mankind. The Holy Spirit He sent back into the world, and that's what we have. That's who we have, not as what. What is a thing? God is not a thing. He is a being. He is a person. Now, I have a tendency sometimes to speak of the Holy Spirit in that vein, and I know better than that. But listen, He sent the Holy Spirit back, His presence, to be among us today, to guide us, to direct us, to lead us, to help us. For you that are lost, to get you all the way to the foot of the cross. I've got to get to my message here just real quick. I got sidetracked all of a sudden here. And I will tell you, I was having a little difficulty before I left home tonight as to whether I was going to stay with this particular scripture or whether I was going to go over to another one. And so sometimes we preachers don't always know just exactly where we're going to go. Sometimes you think we do. We don't. I have to let the Holy Spirit of God direct us. Just like I encourage you who are lost, allow God to lead you. He is a perfect leader. His plan is perfect. It does not need me to say, well, you need to do this and you need to do that, because as soon as I do that, I've tried to add to that which is already perfect. I cannot do it. It won't work. I'm so thankful that He has protected and He has shielded that plan all down through the ages. And in spite of everything that we as man have tried to do, God's plan still stands tonight. And if you're ever saved, you're going to come just exactly like the Word of the Lord teaches. Come to Him. Come to Him as a little child in faith, believing to the saving of your soul. Come with a broken and a contrite spirit. Come repenting of the sin of unbelief in your heart. There's your clue. You're not going to come down here. You're not going to go anywhere else and say, Lord, I'm sorry I got out here and I done this and I done that. That isn't going to get the job done. What you're trying to do is say, well, I want you to forgive me of my works. That's not what you need forgiven of. You've not believed Him. You've not trusted Him. What do you expect? What did you come here tonight? If I were to ask God's children here tonight, what did you come here expecting to hear tonight? Some of you say, well, I expected to hear you preach. Some of you say, well, I expected to hear y'all sing. I hope you said, I expect to participate in the service, and I expect to feel the presence of the Lord in my own heart, and I expect to be able to be obedient unto the voice of the Lord as He speaks to me. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you had a totally different expectation. I don't know what your expectations are. I want you to listen to an old boy in the Word of the Lord who had some expectations. The Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." Now, let's just sit, get the scene. We've got a fella who's been lame all of his life. He was born crippled. And every day, someone brought him and put him out in front of the temple where he could lay there and he could beg for money. He was a beggar. He obviously wasn't capable of getting out here and making a living. And so he played on the sympathy of the people and the generosity of the people who came up to the temple to worship. There are a lot of good people in the world tonight. There are a lot of people who are a lot better than I am. Many people, most people, are better than I am. Don't you ever doubt that for a second. I know that better than anyone else. But let me tell you something. With all the good people there are out there, and all the good things that they can do, there's one thing that none of them can do for you. And none of them can repent for you, and none of them can believe to the saving of your soul. That's your responsibility. And that's going to come down to you. As much as I said last night, I would love to be able to make that trip for you. I know exactly how to do it. I've been there. I know. But I cannot do it for somebody else. And I can't explain it well enough that I could just do it so simple that you'd understand. But the Lord, who is a perfect leader, will lead you if you will allow Him to. I know that. This old boy is laying out here, and he's out here begging. And the Bible says, "Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms." He saw Peter and John coming up here. Peter and John were coming up here. They're apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've not forgotten what their responsibility is to go up to the house of the Lord and to worship. They were going up to the temple as they had been taught, as they had been trained, and as they knew they were supposed to do. And they were going up there to pray. And as they were going up, this old boy spotted them. Ha! Here they come. "Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John said, 'Look on us, look at us, look at us.'" I sometimes tell people every once in a while, I'll overhear someone say, "Lord, he looks like everything but a preacher." Now, quite honestly, I don't know what a preacher is supposed to look like. And so I'm never offended when somebody says that, because I figure that I must be what a preacher is supposed to look like, Ronnie. I don't know. There are times, though, that preacher or no preacher, I just assume people didn't see me. There are some times that I've not been on my best behavior. And some of you once in a while have reminded me of that. One of the things that you who are lost need to understand, you've got to look away from me and my imperfections and my faults and my failures. And you've got to quit looking at everybody else and seeing whether or not they meet your expectations or not, as to whether or not, quote, they are living like the Lord would want them to live, or whether they're being like a child of God, whether they're acting like a saved person. Let me tell you something. I preach a sermon every once in a while about what some of the things that saved people will do that a Christian wouldn't think of doing. I can go through the Bible and give you 2-hour sermon of saved people in the Word of the Lord who did things that you would be aghast at today, and we wouldn't have wanted them in your church house. From some of the most notable people in the Word of the Lord. I just have finished reading. I've been reading in the Old Testament, and just finished 1 and 2 Kings, and been through Chronicles, and over in Judges and some of those old books. And my goodness, as I've read some of these things, I think, those people, they were mean. They were. They were vicious. And we still have some mean people today. And someone will stand up and say, "I thank the Lord, I'm a Christian." Well, they're not a Christian. Now, they may be saved. I'm not going to argue that. But to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. And there are some times when I'm not very Christ-like. And I wouldn't want you to see me then. I wouldn't want you to say or hear me say, as Peter did, "Look at me. Look at me. What do you see?" And this old boy, he's laying here. You know what the Bible says? He was expecting Peter and John to give him a little money. Yeah, that's what he was doing there, and that's what his expectation was, is that they were going to give him some money. And I'm sure he must have still been feeling pretty good about it when Peter said, "Look at me, look at me." But then the whole thing changes. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." I don't have any money. "But what I do have, give I unto thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." What I give unto thee, I give unto thee freely. What I do have. Let me tell you something this evening. I'm not a rich man and I'm not a poor man, but I'll guarantee you this one thing, what I have to tell you about tonight, there's something that money cannot buy, and that's salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? I can't give it to you. No, because it's not mine to give. He didn't turn that over to me. Called me to preach His Word, to tell about Him, to tell about the one who has salvation to give to you. And so that's what I have to do this evening, is to tell you about the one who can save your soul, who will save your soul when you reach that point that you can believe Him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. No question about it. God isn't iffy. God makes it pretty clear in His Word. You see, a lot of His children don't like His Word today. They don't like it because it's too straight. It's too narrow. It's too binding for them. And they don't like that. But let me tell you something. I believe His Word is just as good as He is. And I believe that you and I, as His children, have a responsibility to hear it, to heed it, and to preach it. Now, let me get back to you that are lost. This little boy's here, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." All of a sudden, Peter says to him, "You get up and walk." He's never walked a time in his life. He wasn't expecting someone to tell him, "You can walk." What he's expecting is a little money. Sometimes, folks, our expectations are too small. Sometimes, we're expecting something totally different than what the Lord is offering us. And by that, I don't mean that it's too small what He's going to give you. Because you can't get anything better than what the Lord gives when He gives the gift of eternal life. There's anything better in the world. But He gives it to you. You don't earn it. You can't work for it. All you can do is ask Him to give it to you. "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Look at us. Look at us. We don't have any silver and gold. "But what I do have, give I unto thee freely." I say every once in a while to you lost, that we Baptists, we're kind of selfish. We got this idea that the Lord is limited as how much He's got. And we're afraid that we're not going to be enough for us. Let me tell you something. The Lord's got more than enough to spare. His storehouse is never going to be empty. His salvation is forever and forever. And it's always there. It's always available. And when He's drawing you by His Holy Spirit, I'll guarantee you that He's doing that because He loves you and He wants to save you. Yeah. Now there's something else that happens here. "And He took him by the right hand lost my place, I don't know where it is. And lifted him up. Peter did this right here. I got something I want to give you. I want to share with you. He said, I'm willing to do something about it. I'm willing to help you. Let me say this to you who are lost. I told you this yesterday morning in the service. If you were here, if you weren't, I said this yesterday morning. The two important people in my mind in these services, you and the Lord. You and the Lord. And I'm here that I want to help you to get to the Lord. That's just as simple as I know how to make it. Now we go through all this singing, we go through all this praying, we go through all this giving, we give through all this preaching. But the bottom line is what I want to happen is for you to get connected with the Lord. And if I can help you, I'm willing to reach down my hand and help you. That's what Peter did. He didn't just say, well, get up from there and go in there into the temple. Bible says he reached down and took him by the hand and lifted him up. He lifted him up. Took a little work on his part. I've been on the church a little bit here, the last little bit, and I know that. Trying to get them to get ready for a revival. Trying to get in their minds that I can't do it. I can't bring revival here. The thing that's disappointing is that too many times we get the idea that it's going to be the preacher, the evangelist, who's going to do it. Let me tell you something. There isn't a preacher alive today, and I don't care who he is, how high-powered he is, he cannot bring you revival. You may go through a lot of meetings and everybody hoop and holler a lot and everybody get all excited about how fantastic he is, but I'm talking about revival where that the Holy Spirit of God is, and that comes from the Lord, not from some man. But let me tell you this. It doesn't happen just magically. Somebody has to reach down their hand and help. Somebody has to do something. That's why I can preach works for saved people. Yeah, saved people don't want to hear about works for them. They want to talk about works for you that are lost. They want you to do something, but when it comes time for them to do something, they don't want to do it. Let me assure you this evening, every child of God is supposed to be doing works. We're supposed to reach down our hand and help you. That's why every one of us here tonight. I very well remember when I went to the altar the first time, the second time. I didn't understand what all those people were doing up there praying. And I thought they were all watching me. The truth of the matter is, Stan, most of them didn't really care whether I was there or not, you know. I mean, it was okay. Don't misunderstand me there. But they weren't thinking of me like I thought they were. They didn't think, oh, this old boy is a bad boy. We've got to get on to him, you know. Got to pray for him. Some of them were praying for me. But not because of who I was, but what I was. I was lost and I needed to be saved. I didn't understand all of that. This whole thing up here was a mystery to me. It still is to many people. They don't understand when we start talking about the altar service. Oh, Lord, don't go up there in that now. Listen, let me tell you something. Sometimes you who are lost need somebody to take you by the hand and help you a little bit. Help you. We can't save you, but we can help you. Oh, Peter reached down, took him by the hand, and lifted him up. And the Bible says he leaped up, went leaping, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Let me tell you something. That old boy had something to shout about. He had something to praise about. He had something to be excited about. God saves your soul. I'll guarantee you, you got something to praise the Lord about. Now, you may not do it like anybody else does. I don't know how you, I don't know how you're going to respond. I don't know what you're going to do. You may not do anything. And that's all right, too. But I'll guarantee you, in your heart, when God saves you, peace comes into your heart. Peace, the Bible says, it passes all understanding. There'll come a point in time where you're going to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for saving me. I promise you that. You may not do it right that minute, but you will. And you'll always be thankful for it. We're going to stand. And we're going to sing a song of invitation. I don't know the hearts of a single one of you here tonight. Well, okay, we'll hammer. Come on, Karen. No, it's all right, Bart. Don't worry about it. I just recognized what was going on. Get us another. Shirley, here's my backup. Come on up here. She's my standby. We're going to stand and sing a song of invitation. Here's what I want. I want you, every single one of you, to think for just a minute about what I asked you in the beginning. What did I expect when I came here tonight? What did I expect? Then I want you to answer that question yourself. Have I got what I expected? Have I done what I need to do? Have I said what I need to say? Have I heard what I need to hear? I can't answer that for a single one of you. And if you're here and you're lost tonight, you know whether you are or not. I don't know. I look and I listen to people, and people tell me all the time. But I also know that sometimes people don't tell you the truth. They don't tell you the truth because they don't want anyone to know. But let me just assure you this evening, the Lord knows exactly where you are. While we sing, I want you to think about, what did I expect?